Good morning, good morning, good morning, and good morning to you too. This is Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall, and I am proud to be a member of WBAI 99.5 FM and all of you listening on the podcast, WBAI.org, around the country and around the world. I say thank you for being here. We are going to talk about law of the land. And that means our U.S. Supreme Court, having heard a case on Monday, that case being 303 Creative LLC versus Alinas. And this is supposedly a free speech case that happens to have religion in it, that then touches on same-sex marriage and then goes to the heart of the basic rights we all hold dear in this country. And that is the right not to face discrimination that is supported by law. What do I mean? We always talk about history here, so let's take a step back. Just to let us know that in 1868, the 14th Amendment of our U.S. Constitution gave us the Equal Protection Clause. Why was this necessary? Because in 1857, the case of Dred Scott. Dred Scott was an enslaved human being of African descent in this country. He and his wife and two children were being abused by a slaveholder. They sued for their freedom. They won in the trial court. But when the case went to the U.S. Supreme Court in this horrible decision by our court, high court, that stated that a black man had no rights, a white man was bound to respect. That was in 1857, a case written by Justice Taney. And it took the 13th Amendment, which abolished slavery except as punishment for a crime, the 14th Amendment, which gave us our privileges and immunities, due process clause, and the Equal Protection Clause in 1868, and then the 15th Amendment, which gave black men the right to vote in 1870. Those U.S. constitutional rights that our U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to uphold, all of them are in jeopardy right now, but we're going to channel down to the one that we're going to focus on, the 14th Amendment, as we have our voter suppression taking place in Georgia, taking, of course, the 15th Amendment into consideration. We have, of course, our police violence and the overpopulation of our prisons for profit. And that, of course, is the 13th Amendment. But let us drill down to the 14th Amendment, Equal Protection Clause, in which we are supposed to have equal protection under law, that the states are not supposed to violate our rights. That's the 14th Amendment, and neither is the federal government. So in this particular case, we have Lori Smith in Colorado, who owns a web, it's a business. She calls herself an artist, and I say nothing against that. So Lori Smith is calling herself an artist. And basically what she is doing is creating websites. So I don't know any people who create websites who see themselves as artists, but maybe I'm not going to say anything about that. We see art in any way we can. As an artist myself, I give her that. But the reason why this becomes this huge case before the U.S. Supreme Court is because she decided she did not want to design a website for a same-sex marriage in Colorado, where under state law, same-sex marriage is legal and protected. And under the law, federal law as well as state law, when this couple presented themselves to this business, the business is not supposed to discriminate. Now, Lori Smith is saying it's against her religious rights for her to be forced to create a website for the same-sex couple. Now, no one is forcing her to do anything, but she's saying, having said that the law is being violated for her turning away this couple, that they are now impugning on her religious rights. This is the case before the Supreme Court. And it's the Supreme Court and the conservatives on the courts, I should say, have figured out this niche area of religion in order to force through their conservative agenda. All they have to say is figure out some way to say that it touches on religion. And in our country, There is no evidence that a person has to have sincere religious conviction. All they have to say is, this is a religious violation for me. Wherever way, why they have their religious focus in this way, whatever their religion may be, they could never go to church a moment in their life, or synagogue, or a temple, or anything else, as long as they say they have a religious belief. Now, remember, in this country, we do not even question a person's sincerity of their religious belief. All they have to say is they have it. And once they say they have this religious belief, it's supposed to be respected. And then it can be a challenge to anything else. And in this case, it's a challenge to same-sex marriage under the case that we had earlier in our U.S. Supreme Court of Obergefell versus Hodges, which allowed for the freedom of people of the same sex to marry and have that marriage recognized under state and federal law. So now that is being challenged little by little, chipped away by this conservative supermajority I talked to you about before, because they have the votes. And as long as they have the votes, their legal reasoning takes a second back step to the vote. So they have legal reasoning all over. As we said, the U.S. Supreme Court is supposed to give some consistency around the country, so consistency among the states, consistency among the circuits of federal courts decisions, and consistency for the everyday person to know what their rights are, and for businesses and others to know where their lines are drawn. And in this instance, we don't know, because the court has reasoning all over. All they know is they have the power of the vote, and they're not giving any consistent reasoning why religion should trump all. But they've just found this bully pulpit of power in stating that it's a religious violation. And so therefore, they're able to trump other rights. We're now concerned about the possibility of rights regarding people of color, who someone may say, well, yeah, under the Bible, it said that Ham looked upon his father's nakedness, and seeing that, said that this was a travesty upon all people of color, especially those who are descendants of those of African descent. And Ham was supposedly a descendant of those who are carrying the line from Africa. And so all people of African descent everywhere will be cursed. Well, we know that life began in Africa, so I don't understand how all people of African descent could be cursed when everybody has some part of African descent in them, since all people descend from Africa. But this religious reasoning could be such that someone could say, well, then, you know, if these people have been accursed under the Bible, I don't want to have them as my employees, or have them as people who serve or being served in my business. If we start expanding religious freedoms to include anything where a person believes their religious rights are being challenged or in jeopardy based on the rights of others, then we are doing something constitutionally that is at the core of what the framers of the Constitution abhorred. They went out of their way. Yes, they were white men, and many of them were slaveholders in 1787, but they went out of their way to ensure that this country would not devolve into a war over religion, because they had seen it in other countries, and actually in the Constitution itself made clear they did not want this country to be seen as a religious country. This country has no documented religion. As a matter of fact, the first part, the first phrase, the first line of the First Amendment of the U.S. Constitution is that there is no established religion in this country. Anyone can practice any religion they choose, or no religion at all. And yet the U.S. Supreme Court supermajority of conservatives is going out of its way to create religious animosity, divisions for along religious lines, and give a power to religion that the framers of the Constitution never envisioned, and will only lead to more destructiveness in this country. With that, I'm going to turn for you to think about, and that case will be decided sometime between now and June. And that case is one in which we're all going to be looking to see how the supermajority is going to abuse its power once again, as we've seen already in two or three examples in the past, to create a decision that takes us back to a white patriarchy of the 1940s and 50s, in which they believe the country should be, one in which white heterosexual men, middle and upper class, should have the say over all the rest of us, and we're just supposed to be eating the crumbs from the table of justice. I'm going to turn to another topic, bring a friend of mine back here, someone I know you admire because I really hold in such high regard, and that is Manuel Gomez. We're going to be talking about police assault on civilians and a case out of Georgia, the same Georgia that's having this religious and political and so many other types of contests going on right now. So Georgia is the battlefield. And we're going to get back to that case that's involving Keyshawn Young. This is an issue that's gone viral. It's really got me almost tongue-tied. We're going to come back after this musical break with my champion for the rights of others. Go get your friends. You know, if it's Manuel Gomez, he's got it. He's on fire. He's got the cases. He's got everything. But yeah, I would say the cape that goes with his being a superhero in my mind. We'll be right back and talking with Manuel Gomez about these police violence cases against civilians, as well as all the other cases, missing children, corrupt judges, everything that Manuel Gomez has been working on this year, 2022, we're going to be talking about after this musical break.
Don't change that, trying to please me. Never let me down before. I don't imagine you're too familiar, and I don't see you anymore. I would not leave you in times of trouble. We never could have come this far. No love, I took the good times, I'll take the bad times, I'll take you just the way you are. Don't go trying some new fashion, don't change the color of your hair. Hey there, always have my unspoken passion, although I might not seem to care. I don't want clever conversation, don't want to work that hard, no love, I just want someone to talk to. I want you just the way you are. I need to know that you will always be the same old someone that I do. What will it take to
just the way you are, Barry White. And we have Manuel Gomez, and we at WBAI love you just the way you are, a fighter. Good morning, Manuel.
Good morning, Gloria, and thank you for having me back on. Good morning, everyone out there. Just blessed to be here.
Well, we are going to take the time that's necessary to talk about the many issues, cases, battles that you have been in, and victories that you've had over 2022 as we've gone into a year of Manuel visiting with us many times to tell us about your heroics, and not just, and I'm saying that, and I know you're not saying it, but I call you a hero because you have put yourself in harm's way so many times for so many people, the little people out there that if anybody is listening who needs to have a superhero, this is the person you should actually try to follow right here, Manuel Gomez. Let's get back into some of the issues and cases that you've been working on. Everything from little missing girls, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about these police assaults on civilians that just continue to happen no matter what. And the idea that police are supposed to protect and serve and not abuse their ability. They have guns, they have pepper spray, they have all these ways and batons to hurt people. They're trained and they just, we're living in a police state. So I want to tell you, when you told me about Keyshawn Young, and Keyshawn is one of thousands of cases around the country, but you told me about this, and so why don't you tell us what this video is, because we're going to play this video. I know it's radio, people are going to hear the sound, you can go online and see the video yourself, but tell us about what is happening in this situation.
Well, I got a phone call around 6:45 in the morning from Georgia, state of Georgia, and Miss Kathy Moore called me up because the police knocked on her door at 4 o'clock in the morning. She opened up the door. When she opened up the door, one of the female sergeants put her foot in the door and just stood there. The mother said, you know, what are you doing? And she says, we need to check your house. We need to come on in. Miss Moore tells the police, sorry, but where's your search warrant? Why are you here? What are you doing? And again, like you said, they violated her 14th Amendment right. She stood there for approximately 5 minutes asking the police sergeant and the police officers with her, what legal cause, what was your probable cause for being there? They could not answer. This is all on video. You'll see the face.
Let's play the video and then let's talk afterwards. How about that?
Sure. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to play the video. Michael G.
The engineer come out. This lady came here. Yep, because you're shining the light in my face. So this lady came here. She got her foot in the door, and I told her she do not have no paperwork. She don't have no warrant. What is your name, ma'am?
I'm Sergeant Inman.
And what is your badge number?
I don't have a badge.
Yes, you do. What is your badge? You have the right to give me your badge number. What is your name, sir?
The resident.
What is your name, sir?
Deputy Bashan.
And what is your badge number, sir? You is on camera.
See that, so
okay, so what is your badge number?
This is
what police department you work for? Who are you? How do I know you the police? I'm not letting them in here. Why she got her feet in the door? 4 o'clock in the morning. Do you have a warrant to come here, ma'am? Do you have a warrant to come here? Yes or no?
We're gonna apply for one.
I don't care. Yes or no?
I have to secure this.
Yes or no? Yes or no?
I have to secure this.
Yes or no? Why?
I do not know what's going on behind.
Okay, we don't know. And what's going on? You just woke us up. I asleep. There she go. There go Jazz right here. We really were asleep.
We own the house. We don't have to come out. We let you know.
Sure don't. Why is your feet in the door, ma'am? What is your badge number? What is your badge number, ma'am? What is your badge number, ma'am? What is your badge number? Why is you here, ma'am? Why is you here?
Because I'm securing this residence.
For what? For what? Pick on Jazz right here. For what?
Because of the incident that happened earlier.
What happened?
Come out the residence.
No, we don't have to come out. No resident. No, we don't.
Yes, you do.
No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. No, we don't. We do not have to come out. No resident.
Just gonna get in handcuffs.
I don't know what for. What for? What for? Why? Why is you gonna put my handcuff? Because I'm asking you why you got your foot at the door. First of all. You asked to speak to Jazz. She came to the door. I'm asking you, can I get your badge number? I'm asking her. Jasmine, right here, sir. She's right here. They just woke us up out of sleep.
Okay. Well, there was a stabbing over here earlier.
It wasn't no stabbing over here.
All right, like Jasmine, can you come out?
Jazz. You want to go out that door? Why is you got your feet in the door, ma'am? Could you
it's
tell me?
It's for our safety.
No, hold on. Y'all walk, nothing. Y'all just walk us out.
You want me to get through?
Jasmine.
You cannot go through. Do you have a sex warrant?
You want me to go through?
You cannot go through here.
I just want Jasmine. That's all I want.
Okay,
all
but she cannot serve. You know she cannot do that.
Whoa.
Jazz, whoa. Whoa! Ain't nobody here.
Ain't nobody here but us.
Whoa! She do not have a sex warrant. You don't have a sex warrant to come here.
Don't do that.
And we're on with Manuel Gomez, who was called by the family to help investigate in this case. Manuel, tell us now what proceeded after this.
Well, what proceeded after this is they put the family down on the floor by gunpoint, abused the son, the woman that you heard, Ms. Moore, who was asking where's the search warrant. They handcuffed her, smacked her on the floor and her head on the floor, and then realized that there was no crime in this house. There was no reason to do this. So they released them about 2 hours later. Okay? And then they said, shut up and go on your way. Now, this is a violation, as Gloria was stating before, of the 14th Amendment. These cops clearly violate their rights. And here's the funny thing. That's not a funny thing. The sad thing in this video. There's a point where she keeps asking her, do you have a search warrant? Do you have a search warrant? And you'll see the sergeant in the video. And I'm going to say this again. The sergeant in the video turned to the police officer and say, should we go in? Now, she's asking her subordinate, should we go in? So the subordinate tells the sergeant, let's go in. And they kick the door. And then you hear when Miss Moore says to the sergeant, do you have a search warrant? And the sergeant tells her, no, but I will go apply for one. So she had no legal means right then and there to be there.
And let's be clear. The Fourth Amendment protects against unreasonable searches and seizures. The 14th Amendment protects against a state abusing the rights of others. What we're having here is a violation of both and based on race, because people will see in the video that these are people of color in the home. These are white people who are police officers who are and what really it really gets me is when the sergeant puts her foot, as a white woman, puts her foot inside the doorway. If the family had tried to slam the door on her foot, then, of course, that would be another violation. That would have caused them to say, well, we have to now use force against you because you have attacked us by trying to close your own door on the foot of the sergeant. Is that correct?
No, that's 100% correct. As a matter of fact, that's what that sergeant wanted to happen, because when you watch the video, you will clearly see the sergeant's facial expressions. And let me say, when you watch this, her expressions on her face say 1,000 words, okay? And this is a clear-cut case of what I've been getting across the nation. Again, people, this woman, she did the right thing. She filmed. Ms. Moore kept asking, what is your right? What's the probable cause of being here? Where's your search warrant? We need to continue to film like this. The problem with Ms. Moore, she didn't know how to fight them after that, and she called me. And now I'm going to Georgia to go help them and give them justice, because this video is a clear-cut video showing the violation of abuse of authority from these police. And you clearly heard it. You all heard it on the radio. They don't express what the legal justification was to be there. Not at all.
And the U.S. Constitution sets out in the Fourth Amendment that there has to be probable cause, or there has to be a warrant, or you can have exigent circumstances. And the exigent circumstances means that there's a fire or a scream for help in some way in which there's no time to go get a warrant and the police must act. In this situation, they are not expressing exigent circumstances. They're saying that somebody was stabbed and the person they're claiming was stabbed is standing right there. You know, so they have no reasons to be in that home to handcuff that family, except what the officers say many times is called belligerence. And that's usually a word that's used in reference to people of color, in particular African-Americans, because you have the audacity to tell them you know what your rights are and that you're standing on your constitutional rights. And they have then the audacity to be angered by the fact that you know your rights, that she said, where's your search warrant, and then call you belligerent and to show you, teach you a lesson, who has the power here. That's when they decide they're going to humiliate someone in public or demean them in their own home by, as you pointed out, Manuel, throwing them on the ground or putting them in handcuffs and then turning around, leaving and having the higher ups. Now, what have you seen? What happened to, you know, the people who are supposed to be in internal affairs and those people who are supposed to be stating what officers can and cannot do within their jurisdiction? Where is the leadership here?
Well, see, that's the problem. That's the problem with the system. The system is we're asking the police to check themselves, investigate themselves, monitor themselves, judge themselves. We can't do that. So when you go to internal affairs on a situation like this, 98% of the time across the nation, in my cases, they rule in favor of the police and they cover their butts. And that's the problem. This is why you have to turn around and file complaints with the Civilian Complaint Review Board. Now, every state has a different version of that, but if you go online, you'll see. And then this is when you have to make lawsuits against these people, because if you don't do this, they're going to keep doing it. You know, unfortunately, it's 2020, okay? But in Georgia, it's still 1960, because you know what? I just showed you that. You just heard it. That's a black family being harassed by white officers who had no probable cause to be there, and they treated them like garbage. And if you go on to WBAI, Law of the Land site, you'll see the video and you'll see what I'm saying. Anyone out there that goes through this and you don't know how to fight the system, please call me. 347-867-6242. Please call me. I don't care what state you're in. I will go there and help you. Or I will tell you how to fight that fight to get the help. There's people like the ACLU, American Civil Liberties Union, people like the NAACP that I'll get involved with this. Please call me, 347-867-6242. And I want to say, Gloria, this is just one case, one disgusting case of many throughout this year of 2022. I have another one here, which also is police neglect. And this is the bomb. And I just want to make a quote from a guy named Frank Serpico from the movie Serpico. He said to me, and he's a good friend of mine, he said to me, 20% of the police nationwide are corrupt. 80% want to do good. Now, let me say that again. 80% want to do good. The problem is they don't do the good because they know if they stand up against the corrupt police officers, they destroy their career. Their job is over. Okay? So they go to get along, you have to go along. They go along with this corruption. And that's
that's also what happened, Manuel, when the George Floyd case, where the Absolutely. Other officers, they were young, but the other officers stood by, watched as George Floyd was murdered and did nothing. Yes. And now they are incarcerated. They are going to prison. They are going to be, their careers are ruined. And so we need to let, and police officers listen to this program. We know they do. Mm-hmm. And the other thing is, where are the prosecutors? Where are the prosecutors in this Georgia case? And that is so, and I know prosecutors listen to this as well, listen to Law of the Land, and others do. We know we have people listening on Wall Street all the way up to, you know, the Heights and across the country. But what we need to understand is sitting back, waiting, listening, knowing that racism is taking place in your business, knowing that the police are acting in a corrupt way and doing nothing. When is the blood on your hands going to show to the point where you are going to take action?
And that's a good point. And I just want to say to you, you know what? When is the blood, like you just said, going to get to the point where you show good action? And here's the point. Police officers, correction officers, all you out there listening, don't be scared to do your job. And if you're scared to take on against them because you see the corruption, call me. 347-867-6242. I will stand behind you and fight the cops with you. This is what I do. This is what I do all the time. I get correction officers, police officers around the country calling me to help them fight the police fighting the police. And I want to say one thing. This is not just a black problem. Because if you go back to the George Floyd case, when we were having the demonstrations on George Floyd, on video, on CNN and all the major networks, they showed the cops in Albany pushing back a demonstration. And you see an older white man saying, you know, no justice, no peace. And then the cops knock him to the floor. This white man, this old man, his head hits the floor. He's bleeding on the floor. One cop falls out of the formation. And he tries to help him, and the other cops grab him and make them walk away.
And he's a young cop who actually tries to help the person. And so once again, these were young. These cops were in George Floyd case hadn't even been on the force a full 6 months. And they were being trained on how to terrorize the black community by these other people. And what really gets me, the other people on the force, and what's really gets me is I have taught many people who have gone into policing. And some of those people may be listening right now. You know I have. But here's the thing. I know they are of goodwill. 99% of them are of goodwill when I am teaching them. Corruption takes place within the culture of policing. And there are those who can get through it. I know police officers who have retired from the force unscathed, and they've done their job. They've contributed to society. But they have witnessed the corruption, and they've figured out a way to navigate around it. But that's so difficult to do. And so as you're saying, Manuel, and please give that number one more time for those people. And this is how I met Manuel, because the documentary film Crime and Punishment was one that featured Manuel Gomez. I was at the Sundance Film Festival and I saw the documentary. I walked up to him and I said, please be on my show. That's how I came to know this man, based on that documentary about NYPD and the corruption in NYPD and the quota system there. So please give your number again. And I want us to also talk about the cases of the missing girls.
347-867-6242. Now, here's another case I have. I just finished solving about 5 days ago. And the case, okay, was a 14-year-old girl who is autistic, who walked out her house and she walked across the street. She's half African-American and half Hispanic. And she walks down the street and meets up with some young guy. And he takes her in a car and disappears with her. Now, her mother goes to the police precinct and says, my daughter's missing. She walked out the door. The police did nothing. This girl is 14 years old, has the body of a woman, but the mindset of a 5-year-old. So she doesn't know what the heck she's doing. Okay? And this young guy takes her in the car and drives off with her. Now, the mother, like any mother, frantically goes to the police, asks for help. They do nothing. Nothing. They tell us you got to wait 24 hours. Now, this is the problem. We get over 300,000 people a year missing in the United States, and the cops don't take action for at least 24 to 48 hours. And the problem is those few hours are crucial in saving a life. In the grace of God, somebody told her to call me. And you want to hear the funny thing? One of the cops in the precinct pulled her aside when she walked outside and said, call private investigator Manuel Gomez. The NYPD told her to call me. Okay? And I ran over there, and I started getting all the videos from the minute she walked out the building for a 3-block radius. And then I find that I get the video camera from the bodega showing her getting in this car. Okay, and I see the guy's face. When I did that, I'm in there for about 10 minutes. All of a sudden, the guy comes in. the same guy wearing the black leather jacket with an eight ball that's seen in the video, he walks into the store. And I turn around and ask him, hey, have you seen this girl? He looks at me right in my face and says, I don't know, I've never seen her before. And I just seen him on video 2 minutes ago, but he doesn't know that. So I take him outside, and I'm going to be honest with you. I had
Don't be too honest. Remember, don't be too honest on this radio station. I don't mean don't tell the truth, but it's like, but just limit what you say regarding the facts of this, because you can't, and we have to be sure that this allegedly this person did what they did.
Well, I took him outside and we had a talk, and the love of Jesus in my eyes helped him find a way and say the truth that this girl, where she was, and he told me where she was, and I got her back. So she was missing a total of 52 hours. Okay. Now, you and I both know with these special needs children, they don't really able to express themselves.
So yes, but Manuel, let's go to because we can't divulge the private private things about.
No, I understand.
Yes,
I understand. I'm just saying again. You know, it was just the fact, the failure of the system to provide a mechanism of justice. We're not reacting quick enough to save these lives. And this year alone, Gloria, I've had 35 missing persons call me, families of whose members have been missing. I've rescued now 22 of them. The problem is there's over 100,000 a year nationwide. And these are all colors, white children, Spanish, Chinese. It doesn't matter. There's no discrimination of children being stolen. I mean, we just had another case of mine now, that FedEx employee, he allegedly grabbed that seven-year-old in Texas and killed her, okay? And I was on, you know, TV last night on that. And the sad thing is that the cops there, again, didn't respond quick enough. And this is a problem that we're having across the nation. And people, we have to file complaints. We have to let our politicians know, we have to write legislation. If you have a problem and the cops are not helping you, please call me. If I can't help you, if I can't go to you, I will get you somebody that will. And this is nationwide. I cover 9 different states right now. I'm the only crime investigator in New York that covers 9 states. But can I help you and give you advice? Yes, and guide you to the places that can. Another case I have that's going on right now, and that is a case of Robert Marty. Now, this guy, I have on video with him. Now, let me say that name again. Robert Marty from the 40th Precinct in the Bronx. I have the cops on video grabbing this man and his wife out of the car, frisking his wife up and down, all in her privates, and then turn around and walk away and tell him, F you. And walk away. And he's telling him, I want your badge number. And I, thank God somebody recorded it. Okay? I just got that case literally 2 days ago with Robert Marty. And this is what's going on. This wasn't the first time they did this to these people. I have cops violating people of all colors nationwide. They forget one thing. When you become a cop, you're a public servant. You're there to protect and serve the public, and they're not. And we have all these cases going on and innocent cops standing by while their partners are violating our rights. So you got the senior cops showing the younger cops how to violate us and nothing being done. Police officers, correction officers, please stop being scared. Be courageous. Stand up for what's right. Call me. I will back you. We will take on that fight together against your police captain, inspector, the department, corrections, the warden. I don't care who it is. Call me and we'll stand behind you. The ACLU will get behind you. The NAACP will get behind you. But you got to show the courage and valor that you were supposed to show when you took this job. If you're scared, please retire. Get another job. The public doesn't need scared police who are scared to police. Let me say that again. The public doesn't need scared policing. They need policing to protect the public. And if the public doesn't get that protection, then we need to protect ourselves.
And you said something that's so important, that get another job. And I don't say this lightly, because everyone goes through times on their jobs where they wonder, why am I in this job? Where is the passion I had for doing this? I see the people before they go into policing who really want to be police officers. And I know they have a passion. They want to help people. And I said, this is 99% of the people I see who are going into this line of work. I know the burden is over than any jobs, over what people expect. And there's tedium. There's all kind of stuff that goes. But you've got a gun. And I say this, you've got a nightstick. You've got pepper spray. You've got training. You've got all these things. And if you have all these things and you're afraid of the public, what are we supposed to be? If you're afraid of the other police officers, What are we supposed to be when it comes to the other police officers? If you're afraid of your coworkers and they have guns and they have these psychological issues or whatever is wrong with them, making them go rogue in these positions, what are we as just the general everyday person supposed to do? If you're in the job, you know how it works, and you're afraid of other police officers, how is the civilian supposed to feel? So yes, if you're afraid in your job, then if you can't get help, then you shouldn't be in this job. But once again, some of them think, well, then I leave it over to the rogue police officers and they would terrorize us even more.
You see, but that's the problem. They don't realize the other officers that are standing there, you're just as guilty. And when the time comes that they get found guilty, you'll lose your job because you didn't take police action and you didn't stand up for the law. So do the right thing. Save your career. Or save the public or leave. And if you can't do one of those three things, come to me and I'll help you fight that fight.
And I want to do something, because I think it's very important. And if you don't mind doing this with me, I know I should have asked you ahead of time. In order for us to have this program on, we need people to support WBAI. And in order to support this show, support Law of the Land. And to do that, you need to call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950, to have people like Manuel on to be a fighter for you. You need to have a platform to hear him. Because if we didn't have Law of the Land, you wouldn't even know this man existed. And those of you, the hundreds of you who have called him and told your friends about him, you need to be calling to support Law of the Land right now at 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Call here, say you want to support Law of the Land, call that number, because in order for this show to stay on the air, we've got to pay our bills. We've got to pay the light bill. We've got to pay people like Michael G, my engineer, in order for us to hear more about Manuel Gomez and the heroic things he does. Manuel, I want you to tell us more about what you've seen as far as the judges and what some of the cases you had over this past year involving judges. People have called me about the case you talked about in Pennsylvania. How was that resolved in the end? Tell us more about that one.
I want to tell you about that, but I just want to say one thing. I want to thank Law of the Land, because every time I've been on your radio show, more than 300 to 400 people call me every time I get off the radio. And I've had the privilege the privilege of Law of the Land being on it. I've had the privilege of helping 87 people from around the nation get help because of listening to this radio show. So thank you. Thank you, Law of the Land. Please support it, because it's been able to give me a mechanism to help you as well. And now back to the judges. I've had so many problems and cases where, you know, people are going to court. Like I had a case with Nancy Negron. You know, where it's a child custody case. Found out that her grandson, the baby's daddy, became a blood gang member and was teaching a 5-year-old how to do blood gang signs and wear gang bandanas and driving around with a kid with drugs in the car. For a year and a half, I've been fighting this case, and the judges have done nothing. We went through 4 judges because of the incompetency of these courts. And this is where people have to realize, I get hundreds of cases besides criminal of child custody and mothers fighting the system because they're not getting the support from the system, because the baby's daddies are torturing them, violating them, harassing them, stalking them, threatening them, intimidating them, and the courts just let them roll to the side. People, you have to file complaints. You have to write a complaint on the judge for failure to do and take legal action. It's a judicial misconduct committee. Every state has one. Write that complaint. And if you don't know how to write it, call me and I will show you, because I've written judges up, 15 of them so far, for corruption. I will give you a copy of my letter so you can use it as a template to write yours. And if that's not good enough, I'll sit down with you on the phone and we'll write it together. I don't care what state you're in. There is a judicial misconduct committee to report these types of corruption. We have too many families falling to the side that are not getting justice because our judicial system is treating them like a factory and not caring and violating their 14th Amendment rights. The states are not protecting their civil rights. We need to stand up against this, people. We need to write laws against this. And this is something that I do. If you go on my website, Black Ops Crime Investigators, you will see that. Okay? Unfortunately, we all need to do it unanimously. The more we do it, the more we'll get those people out. And this is not a black problem, a Spanish problem, a white problem. It's an everybody problem. It's a systemic problem. But who does it affect more? And I hate to say it, but people of color, brown and black skin. Okay? And let me tell you something. You're only going to make a difference by you getting involved. Don't wait for another George Floyd to get involved. Don't wait for another Justice for Junior for you to get involved. Don't wait for that. We don't need that. Don't wait for another Rodney King for you to get involved. Demonstration through legislation. Let me say that again. Demonstration through legislation. You can make that change. Shakespeare said it best, people. The pen is mightier than the sword. Use that First Amendment right. Write that bill. And if you don't know how to write that bill proposal, then go on Black Ops Crime Investigators and you'll see bill proposals I've written. And I will help you, show you. Use the public library. Google is not everything, people. You got to open a book. Okay? And let me tell you, we can get it done together.
The only way, for the sake of time, we're going to talk about the judges for a little bit, and then we're going to have to wrap up. So if you would tell us what's going on with some of the judges, allegedly, remember, what is happening with some of the judges?
The case that you were referring to in the beginning, I forgot.
Yes, in Pennsylvania.
Yes, Pennsylvania. I had a young African male harassed by a state trooper because he was driving a Rolls Royce. Now, this guy had no criminal record, a young businessman, real estate developer, but he was in a very nice car,
and the police officer, African-American in a very nice car, and the white cop couldn't stand it.
And he harassed him, threw him on the floor, and him and his beautiful girlfriend, who had a dress on, he harassed him and did all that, and he winds up arresting this guy because the guy stood up to him and says, I want your badge, just like Ms. Moore did, and I want your full name. And the cop more or less told him, go F yourself, and just cuffed him. He says, you want my badge? You want my name? Okay, you're under arrest. And that's what he did to him. Now, I went and fight this case up in Pennsylvania, and let me tell you, the judge there was so corrupt. All right, he wouldn't let any of the evidence come in. This case was so corrupt that when they found out that I was going to testify as his witness, the state trooper went out into the hotel where I was staying, went into the parking lot and ran my license plate to try to intimidate me. Now, I told the judge, I said, this piece of garbage just went here. He says, what do you call him? I said, a piece of garbage. He went out there and he admitted in the court that he ran my plates. Now, if I'm testifying against a corrupt cop, how is a corrupt cop going to run my address and know where I live? That's intimidation. And I reported him to Internal Affairs. I even showed him the record. Do you know what they did? Nothing. Mm. Nothing. So now we had to go to the appeals court. And now we're in the process of appealing this case, showing how the judge wouldn't let evidence in, showing how the judge would not take action, showing how the judge favored the state trooper, showing how the judge knew that what he did was witness intimidation, which is a crime. He was supposed to be arrested right in court. He admitted to it. The judge took no action. Now I'm taking action. Now I went and got him the best lawyer I can get him from New York, because I couldn't get him a lawyer from Pennsylvania because they were all part of the good old boys club. I'm sorry to say it that way, but it's a fact. And you know what? Now it looks like that my client's going to win this case because the evidence is overwhelming. But again, we had to write a letter against the judge. I had to write letters to Internal Affairs. I had to report him for failure to take action. Currently, right now, the U.S. judges, Gloria, can have an unlimited amount of cases overturned for not following the law, for violating your rights, and for being corrupt, and they don't get fired. There's no law to fire them. Do you know judges have immunity? You can fire the president. You can fire a governor. You can fire a congressman. Hell, you can fire a senator. But you can't fire a judge for being corrupt. This is why I wrote legislation called the Truthfulness and Decisions Act. You go on my website, Black Ops Fire Investigators, to see it, and I'm trying to push it for federal law to take away a judge's immunity and give them what they call qualified immunity. They will only get immunity if they're found to be following the letter of the law. People, please report these judges, because I get hundreds of people call me every year, and they talk about how the judge didn't do their job. But why aren't you reporting them? If you don't report them and start building these complaints on them, we're never going to get justice. Because now when you try to sue a judge, then they'll look back and say, well, has he ever had any complaints against him? Has he ever done this before? And if they see a history of that, your chances of winning are that much more better. Please, America, exercise your rights. Please, stand up for the 14th Amendment. Don't let them violate you. And do what Ms. Moore did. Hey, record them and be proper. What was your probable cause? What is your search warrant? Use the law against them. Because if you look like the aggressor, then you're going to lose. But if you're being calm and collective and asking them, trust me, when they're corrupt, they can't answer. You heard that on the radio on WBAI right here today. That cop could not answer that woman's question because they were being corrupt. As long as you keep the calm like she did, you will show that corruption. Please stay calm. Please call me if you have that problem, 347-867-6242.
Or call, and those are the, these are the last words that we'll have for this show. You know that you will be on in 2023. Black Amen. Ops Private Investigator, Black OPS Private Investigation. And we need to understand that, when he says he'll be there for you, that's why I play that Barry White. And so we like you just the way you are.
Okay. Amen. Thank you.
And we thank you. Thank you for joining us. And as I said, we'll have you back very soon, probably in January, the new year, to talk about what we're going to do going forward for 2023 to empower, inform, and of course, get people to be activists in their own way, to stand up for themselves, their communities, and to go forward. We're going to give them those necessary elements, and we're going to have a show in January in which we are just going to talk about how they do this legislation, how they write up a judge, how they put send in a complaint against a prosecutor or a police officer. We're going to have a lesson on that Amen. In January. How about that, Manuel?
I think that's perfect, and that's what the public needs. I just want to end it with saying, may God bless all of you. May you all have a blessed year. And you know what? Let's just remember, stand up for one another. Because love is all we need, love and understanding. And to quote Malcolm X, knowledge is power. Let's gain that power. Listen to WBAI and support them so that you can gain that knowledge. God bless you all, and I look forward to speaking to you again.
Thank you, my friend. This has been Law of the Land with Gloria J. Brown Marshall. That was the Manuel Gomez, private detective, former member of NYPD, former military officer. He has done so much to get him to this point and using all of that power to help us. Think about that. and he's on this program, and he's able to be here because we have a platform that then will elevate his voice. He was doing all of this work before. And now you need to call 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. Call and support Law of the Land right now. You heard him. 212-209-2950, 212-209-2950. That is the pledge line. Call up, support Law of the Land. Say you want to support this show that has given you so much. I've tried so hard to inform, to empower, to inspire, bringing someone like Manuel Gomez to you to tell you what you can do for yourself, not just stay back and go, help me, but he's saying help yourself through what he can show you, what his example has been. And you can go to his website, Black Ops Private Investigating, and you can go there and see. Put in his name, Manuel Gomez, private detective, and his website will come up. But in the meantime, call 212-209-2950. And if you're only giving $5, if you're only giving $10, if you're only giving what you can, those of you, can you imagine these 200 to 300 people he's helped? If you give us $5, $10, how much you're helping Law of the Land for us to do even more, to help even more people. 212-209-2950 is the number. That's the pledge line. This is the time. At the end of the year, we need your help. For those of you who can do more, please do more. Please give more. I have tried my best throughout these 10 years of being on the air, and I'll continue, but I can't do it without you. 212-209-2950. And thank you, Michael G. Thank you, Manuel. Thank you all. I have the best listeners, and I appreciate you so much, and I appreciate this opportunity. Please allow me to continue to do it, because I really want to see you, each and every one of you. On the radio.